Next on BYUSN, BYU basketball dominates the hottest team in the Big 12, beating Kansas State by 15. Were we surprised by the performance? Head coach Kevin Young and one of the stars, Richie Saunders, break down Richie's first ever double-double in that win over Kansas State. And, oh yeah, Kansas is coming to town tomorrow.
Heck yeah, dude. Is it a bad thing that Kansas lost to Utah Saturday before BYU plays the Jayhawks tomorrow night, or was it awesome? Plus, why the SEC and Big Ten are somehow scared with bids regarding the college football play. I don't get it.
They scared! Welcome to BYU Sports Nation,
presented
by the BYU Store. Official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy President's Day! A winning Monday, February 17th. I am Spencer Linton alongside a man who loves to celebrate the birthdays of the different presidents, Jerem Jordan.
Nice jersey. I like that.
Thank you. We got the USA theme covered. Absolutely. I knew you were going to wear the hockey jersey. I'm like, I may as well represent USA basketball. Let's go.
Okay, what is President's Day? Let's just remind you all what it is. Okay, it's basically between Abraham Lincoln's birthday on February 12th and George Washington's on February 22nd. So it celebrates those two. It's not necessarily meant to celebrate every president, but you could if you want, whatever. Also, USA hockey. USA hockey was so awesome on Saturday night against Canada up in Montreal. Don't boo the anthem again, okay? You want to see what's going to happen again? A 3-1 win. They're going to play in the championship on Thursday against Finland or Canada. Play Sweden tonight in a meaningless game because they're already in the ship.
Okay.
Can't wait. Also, I saw Captain America Brave New World. So it was very USA-themed over the weekend. Marvel has not quite, lived up to it. It was entertaining, but I don't think it was that good of a movie. But I'm going to be there. I'm going to support.
All part of the patriotic theme of the weekend.
Absolutely. USA! USA! Let's go. I'm pumped, man. On holidays like this, too, this building is empty. Everyone has a day off but us. But we're here, baby, because we got hoops to talk about.
Recapping a huge weekend. Yeah, let's do it.
We are here. Except in June and July.
And you put me on my heels a little bit on Saturday night leading into our day off.
Yes, I did. Okay, to that, this was one of the greatest moments in the history of BYU TV. So I've talked on the air on this program and on the postgame. I said, you know who's amazing at math? Spencer Linton. So I concocted three random equations, like just division.
I was feeling the heat.
And I wanted the percentage. I don't know what kind of deodorant you wore, but it probably kicked in. Here's what that looked like after the game, which you nailed. It was awesome. Okay, here we go. 8 divided by 68.
8 divided by 68.
I'm giving you hard ones, dude.
1 out of every 8.5, which would probably be around 10 or 11%.
11.7.
Oh, my gosh.
15 divided by 42.
15 divided by 42 is going to be right around 35%.
0.7. Very good. 35.7.
Okay.
And last but not least. See, I told you he's good.
Look at 13.
Look at your posture. The tension in your body.
Smoke is coming out of his ear.
Sweating like crazy.
Pressure.
Somebody put some batteries in the back. 13 divided by 72.
Oh, boy. Okay. Let's see. Give me an extra second.
Yep.
This should be like a hair over 18%.
18%! I told you this man knows math! Not bad?
It's my stupid human trick.
Yes, David Letterman. I love that. By the way, SNL 50, fun weekend too.
Awesome.
With all that. It was great, man.
Hey, let's go Cougs and go math, huh? Rise and shout! It's time for What's Trending.
Down hall between the rings.
They got him.
Down.
Lobs to Kiba! And he throws it down!
Trey Stewart for three.
Yes! Trey with a tray!
Reset to Saunders. Saunders baseline.
Drive it down! Richie Saunders!
What was the eagle cry? That was awesome.
I love it.
Because USA?
USA, baby.
I love eagles.
Bald eagle.
Right?
Oh,
not endangered anymore? Question mark.
All part of this American theme.
I think we're good with the bald eagles.
What's trending? Presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. There were several MVPs for BYU on Saturday night. Holy cow, were they ultra prepared for a Kansas State team that had won 6 straight Big 12 games?
Not anymore.
BYU's got the win streak now, 2 in a row. They're 8-6 overall, and yeah, they snap the Wildcats' red-hot win streak. At the Marriott Center, after the game, I spoke with BYU head coach Kevin Young about what stood out in his mind from that BYU performance.
I thought our attention to detail on the game plan was outstanding in the first half.
particularly on the defensive end. And then offensively, we kind of figured it out a little bit. We were shooting too many threes but without attacking the paint. But I think what really got us going to start was just the defensive execution.
Holy cow, the defensive execution in the first half. Specifically, we'll talk about that at length. Jerem, were you surprised in any way by BYU's performance in what turned out to be a 15-point shellacking of Kansas State?
I thought BYU was going to win and win convincingly. I told Blaine before the game, hey, BYU by 13. So this is top by 2 points. I thought BYU would, it's not an upset because they were favored by like 6.5. I thought BYU would win and win convincingly. Let's first talk about the defense, like you mentioned. 0.970 points per possession allowed. What does that even mean? When BYU is less than 1.1 allowed, they are 15-2 this year. Mm. They are awesome. And when they score 1.1 or more, they haven't lost.
There you go.
So BYU was a 1.25 offensively. That was amazing. The individual awesomeness. Richie did Richie things, except 14 rebounds was new. That was amazing. 5 offensive rebounds. Dallin Hall, 14 of his 16 in the second half. That was a season high 16. Good on Dallin. We've talked about how he's how important he is. And I've said, hey, he needs to score. So it was good to see him score. Kaba Keita, 9 points, 11 rebounds, career high 5 blocks in 18 minutes.
In his flu game.
In his flu game. He told you he was sick. We didn't know that till after
the
game.
No idea.
What a game. What a performance by him, which was pretty cool. Here's Kaba Keita on his flu game.
Flu game, man. I don't know.
That laugh is worth $1 million, man. Like, imagine me healthy.
Yeah.
I think UCF doesn't want to see him again. I'll say that.
Holy cow.
Okay. And then Yegor Demon went under the radar, had 8 assists. That's most in a month for him. So he didn't score a ton. He had led BYU in scoring 2 of the last 3. 8 assists. That's what you want to see. How about the 40-somethings, which we are too? BYU scored 40 points in each half.
Okay.
41 rebounds, 40 paint points.
Whoa.
41 bench.
I love it.
Points. They outscore the starters in back-to-back games.
I love it so much.
BYU bench is top 20 in not only minutes and kind of experience, but also actual points. Trey Stewart continues to come in and like give meaningful minutes, albeit in like less than 10.
Is Trey Stewart BYU's Deion Waiters?
No, he has rational confidence as opposed to irrational confidence, as Bill Simmons said. Trey Stewart is 6 of 11 from 3 this year. I don't know what we expect from Trey, but it's way better than maybe the expectation. So congrats on that. And then BYU is now tied for 5th, Doc, with Kansas and Baylor setting up tomorrow's game. So this was a great performance. Not a big Lavender jersey fan myself, so that was nice to see just BYU just take it to him. Although Lavender has its qualities, according to the Essentials.
The lilac, crowd. Lavender, whatever. Those are great-looking uniforms. But they took a big old L.
I don't love them as much as you do, I'll be honest.
Okay. L is for lavender and lilac and loss. Okay.
And for the way you look.
I love the way that BYU won this game.
Yeah.
They threw out their typical game plan from an outside shooting perspective and kind of what BYU has relied on for much of this season, which is we're going to hunt threes because we got a bunch of guys that can shoot it. And we feel like the point guards can set our shooters up with open looks. They saw something in their preparation for Kansas State, and we'll hear more from Kevin Young about this, but they felt like they could attack the rim all night long. Clearly, BYU did not believe Kansas State could consistently control the paint, defend the paint, and that they didn't want to defend the paint against BYU. So the Cougars kind of went outside of their script, and they caught Kansas State a little bit off guard. They dominated the glass, and those 40 points in the paint. Holy cow. Just every time out, Kevin Young, look, we're driving the basketball. More. They do not want to defend us inside.
Kylo Ren?
Yes.
More,
right? And he said, look, we're not entirely abandoning the three-point shot, but everything will happen from the inside out in this game.
Yes.
So get downhill. BYU only ran into a little bit of trouble in the second half when there's half-court offense got a little stagnant, and they were not playing with pace, and they were not driving the basketball.
Got down to eight.
They were settling for some bad shots and waiting late in the clock. So he reminded them, go with what was working for you so well in the first half. Attack the rim. Dominate the glass.
Only 6 made 3, second lowest all season.
6 for 23.
Didn't matter.
26%.
Didn't matter.
I think. Or 26.1 or something like that. Okay? So.
It's 26.1. What?
Six for 23.
Why are you here? Can we, like, is there a, I love you and I love that we've done the show for 12 years, but like, Could you make like a lot of money from this meth situation here, or like should we pursue that, a side gig? Like,
I'm not a betting man, Jared.
Everyone's like, we just have calculators. Why would we need Spencer's manual math skills?
Yeah, we have all the technology for that.
It's AI.
It's true. Yeah, but I just love the way that BYU won this game, and I thought their preparation, as Kevin Young said, was next level. They kind of sat all week. They knew what Kansas State was coming in, and the whole arena, the atmosphere, the vibe.
Finally a sellout.
Everybody
knew. I was surprised
that
BYU hadn't sold out quite yet. BYU's number one in the league in attendance and seventh in the country. But that crowd was special. Just wait for tomorrow, by the way.
Oh, my gosh.
I think tomorrow's going to be 2020 Gonzaga, 2011 San Diego State vibes of, like, it's on.
This is a massive game.
BYU's never hosted the winningest program in NCAA history, Kansas, in the modern era of BYU basketball. They did in, like, the 60s.
This almost becomes, just by name brand and the success that program has had, like a top three or four home game all time at the Marriott Center.
Yes. More on this tomorrow. But
holy
when
cow.
BYU joined the Big 12, in my mind, big fat circle around, oh, my gosh, Kansas is going to come to Provo. They didn't last year. That was a bummer. BYU goes there and wins.
Mm.
Come on.
Then now you got to defend home court.
Now you got to defend
BYU
home court.
BYU does that. They're 9-6 and maybe alone in fifth place of the conference for the time being. We'll see what Baylor does.
Baylor.
Yeah. I need to look closer to what Baylor has remaining. But going back to something that you said about the individuals involved in this game, when Dallin Hall scores and he has a scorer's mentality, good things typically happen for BYU.
Right?
Yes. When he amazing passer. He's a great distributor of the basketball. But when he is more offensive-minded to score the basketball, this means good things for BYU.
Yes.
16 against Kansas State.
I would dare say if Dallin Hall scores 16, BYU is going to win like 95% of those games, it feels like, just because you're going to get it from everybody else. It's not going to be likely in a losing effort. Dallin has settled into this situation it'd be tough, right, for him, let's be honest, to be the guy last year, and then you bring in a top 10 projected pick. He's the starter. They played both of you. You're trying to figure it out. He's come on off the bench. BYU's better with Dallin Hall as the backup point guard because he and Foos and Dawson and Cannon's going through stuff where he gives you 11 against West Virginia. He's given zero in two games the last five, including on Saturday. But he's doing other things. Like, it's not the same formula, which is nice. You have a little more Mihailo and Trey right now. It's not, like you said, the game plan that has always worked. But you got to adapt. And it's a long season. To Kevin Young, it's actually a short season. It's like, what's 31 divided by 82?
Oh, 31 regular season games?
Yeah.
Divided by 82?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, now you're really putting me on the spot here. That is a random. Don't tell me.
Okay.
Kay?
I'm looking it up.
Okay.
Well, let's say 33 divided by 82.
Because you're attacking on, two
more
games?
You're going to play at least one in the Big 12 tournament and at least one in the postseason.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. This is tough.
If you get within 2%, I'm
impressed. This is such a random number. Okay. I'm going to go 33 into 82.
Yeah, 33 into
33 82. 33 into 99 would be one-third, which would be 33%.
Right.
Okay.
So you know it's north of that.
Okay. So I'm going to go right around 40%.
I'm out of here. This is...
What is this?
This is too much. It's exactly 40.2 or something. Come on, man. O'Callaghan, Miracle on Ice. Let's go. Okay, how about, dude, that was awesome. I'm actually getting mad at how good you are at that. I don't know why. BYU football, how about a great callback by BYU football social? You remember the whole K-State fan Taco Bell thing? We're not going to explain it. You got to know it. You got to look it up.
Shout out to at St. Bill Snyder.
Yeah. Beefy five layers on us, boys. Great callback. Yep. Wait, again, not going to explain it. You got to go look yourself, but great callback.
Taco Bell for the win.
I love Taco Bell, dude. My favorite fast food.
Let's talk about BYU's resume. Speaking of
looking
deliciousness,
better.
Okay? 36 in the net.
That's not the word I'd use.
36 in the net ranking, 17-8 overall. They're two games above 500. For those of you wondering where BYU was at this juncture last year, the Cougars were 7-7. So they're a game better through 14 conference games than they were a season ago. And that remarkable season that we all loved so much a year ago.
Net was higher. BYU was like top 10, top 15.
They were more efficient. Their KenPom numbers were higher.
They played a tougher non-con.
Quad 1 and Quad 2 combined now. 7-8. Really solid.
Still need to get, to me, another probably two quad ones to feel like BYU's in for sure.
They'll have plenty of opportunities.
Tomorrow, number 15 net, Kansas.
Okay. So followed by another one against Arizona on Saturday, followed by another one on Wednesday against Arizona State.
Toughest week of the season by opponent, by the way. Kansas at home at Arizona.
Oh.
Toughest week of the season.
Can you get a split there?
Beat Kansas at home. And, yeah, I just want BYU to compete at Arizona. I don't need a win.
Can you get a split? Can you beat
if they
Kansas
go and win?
Arizona? Oh, man.
Oh, if BYU sweeps the week, now we go, can BYU be a top four seed and get a bye to the third round of the Big 12 tournament? Like, now it's crazy talk.
Yes.
I think BYU is still flawed to where I'm not, like, expecting or seeing that exactly. But they could do it. We've seen BYU play well enough to compete in these games. The only game they didn't was Houston. Everything else, it's like, listen, they were in those games if they didn't win them.
You now have some quality. I mean, you've beaten Baylor. You've beaten Kansas State at home. You won at UCF. You won at West Virginia.
Kansas would be the best win of the year by far.
Okay.
Yep.
Our question of the day is this. After the 15-point win over Kansas State, how confident are all of you that BYU now will make the NCAA tournament?
Lunardi, fourth to last team in. So still on the bubble.
They didn't quite crawl into the last four byes like I thought they would.
Yeah. We'll see an update probably this morning. That's as of Saturday.
Okay.
Night, I think. But we'll see.
Maybe some things happened yesterday between Utah State and New Mexico. I don't know. That could push BYU up a seed. We'll see.
Oh, yeah. Utah State basketball.
Stonely Justin on Instagram answers our question of the day. Same as I was last week. It's going to happen, and BYU is going to be a 7 seed or better.
That's pretty good. Right now, I don't. BYU wouldn't
I'd say
be
like
seven.
A 10 seed.
It'd be like a 10, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the vibe. Whew. You know what we haven't busted out? Bracket matrix. I think we need to bust that out a little more.
Yeah, it's time. Yeah. Now because BYU yeah. is more and more in the conversation.
Yeah, and it's February 17th. It's like we're there.
We can figure out the percentage of brackets that BYU is in.
Yeah. Another math.
Of the 106 randos.
It's like 84 yes. right now or something. Yes, exactly.
At GoCougs Always on X answers, it's 50-50, especially after UCF now only being a quad 2 win.
UCF's lost UCF, 6 in a row.
UCF's still a quad 1. They're 75 in net today.
Mm.
They're still a quad 1 win. I know.
They are sliding.
It's on the cusp.
Yeah.
If BYU beats Kansas tomorrow night, I'll feel a whole lot better.
They'll be off the bubble if they win tomorrow.
Then you have to go into the last four byes, right?
Yeah.
You just beat Kansas and Kansas
You'd
State back-to-back
at least
back
five
and
plus.
Won at West Virginia before that.
Yeah.
And 3 over .500 in league? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
AK All The Way 08 posted this on X after the game in regards to BYU's bench outscoring the starters 41-39, I believe. Is this concerning or encouraging? Seems like a good debate for Jeremy Spencer on BYU Sports Nation. Thank you for the suggestion.
Yes, we appreciate the submission there. And now we're talking about it.
Yeah,
and I
yeah.
don't think this is concerning at all for me. If you can go down the line and put together back-to-back games where your bench outscores your starters and you win both games?
Mm-hmm.
What is there to be concerned about? If you win, like if BYU were losing, it's like, oh, okay, that's
hey,
a little
starters
weird.
Need
starters
to do
need
more.
To step up more.
Or does the bench need to start? Like what's the
–
no.
This feels like a we're winning good. Formula, literally.
Yeah.
Okay, two Great. Games in a row at West Virginia, dominate Kansas State.
I think it's 5 times this year, something like that, 4 or 5 times.
Jeremy, what's crazy is BYU, you could almost field – a legitimate starting five looking at BYU's bench.
That was essentially BYU's team last year, was it not? The bench guys?
Yes.
It's pretty good.
Would anybody blink if Dallin and Foos
and
Cannon Catchings and Dawson Baker started the game?
Mihailo maybe because he's kind of your third five man right now.
But you could throw those four in and add Kaba and like there's a whole different starting five. It wouldn't matter.
That team takes third in the WCC at least, right? Although who cares about that? BYU 18th nationally at 30 points per game off the bench. Second in the Big 12 to Oklahoma State, but they stink, so who cares? BYU can run teams to the ground with this kind of bench, especially at home at altitude. They can push the tempo. It's not just about pushing the tempo, but,
yes.
like, it helps BYU play better. It really does right now.
I know it can get a little bit tricky, and Coach Young even talked about
with
it. He's like,
figuring
like
out
some,
rotations.
Of, some of the roster, some of the lineups I had on the floor got a little wonky, I think was the word he used. He's like, so we had to put in Mihailo, and kind
Miha,
of
is that what
like,
he's called?
Yeah, they kind of like righted the ship a little bit when the game got to 8 points.
Yeah.
But to have that luxury of being able to throw in a tough match for Kansas State with Mihailo playing the five?
Or I don't have an answer with this guy. Let me turn to one of these guys.
There you go.
Be ready, and credit to the BYU bench who has been. They've done a great job of being ready. If you were Trey Stewart, you could be pretty disengaged, but he was ready. Mihailo Boskovic, he was ready.
Yes, Trey Stewart, in the words of Neil Everett, ESPN sportscaster, ready to shoot, Jack! I love yeah, it. He's yes. always ready.
Shout out Hawaii and Oregon.
Yes. Utah, by the way, upset 17th ranked Kansas in Salt Lake City on Saturday
Well,
night.
I think that Kansas lost, but that's a different way of looking
Kansas
at it.
Kansas blew it at the Huntsman Center, and Utah got lucky.
No credit. No. We give you no credit.
Terrible. Hey, is it a bad thing that Kansas lost to Utah before they play BYU tomorrow night?
Interesting question. It's a motivation versus standings conversation. What do we like more? Kansas is not like the same program they've been. They've lost six times this year. Not like it was a shock that they lost another game per se, although to Utah was interesting. They'll still be ranked probably in the 20s today. Maybe they'll fall out. I don't know. It's a quad one game tomorrow, number 15 in net. Big game. BYU will be up for it no matter what. I'm telling you, Kansas would have been up for it even if they had won because BYU beat Kansas last year. Like, they owe BYU something. So BYU needs to be ready because I think they're extra motivated. I like it because standings. I think there's a chance that BYU finishes equal to or ahead of Kansas like last year.
You're playing for fifth place right now.
I like the seeding idea more than I like they're off balance for a Tuesday night's game. I think Kansas was going to come in motivated regardless because of last year's loss.
There's some desperation element for Kansas here because – I mean, you just lost to a team that has a losing record in conference in Utah.
That one is
like,
a tough one.
Okay, yeah. Just now we have to split. So I feel like there will be some real desperation, and they will play with a ton of urgency tomorrow. If BYU can just sustain that early onslaught of energy that's going to happen from Kansas and the Marriott Center gets loud.
Oh. No, I'm telling you, tomorrow's going to be special. Like, I'm going to go over there after the pregame show. We're not doing halftime because it's on ESPN.
Enjoy the ambiance and the atmosphere, yes.
Oh, it's going to be great.
I love it.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, so it's a little weird. Desperation, but now Marriott Center is going to be rocking.
Can't wait,
tomorrow
man.
Night.
Tomorrow night, pregame 8 Eastern time on BYU TV, BYU Radio. The Cougars and Jayhawks. We'll see what their ranking is. It was 17 last week. They'll get a new ranking today. BYU TV, BYU Radio, tomorrow night, 8 Eastern.
After the break, as promised, my one-on-one conversation with BYU head coach Kevin Young and an interview you haven't heard yet with star Richie Saunders about his first career double-double, the win over Kansas State, and what does Richie think of the Jayhawks? This is BYU Sports Nation.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
Our guys are really believing in each other. I thought our attention to detail on the game plan was outstanding. The shout out to all of our fives. I mean, we scored 80 and 40 of them were in the paint.
You can't scheme for 11 people.
We are live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. Hope you're enjoying this President's Day broadcast live from our studios. And we hope you enjoy this conversation with BYU head coach Kevin Young following the Kansas State win as he looks back on what was one of BYU's best performances of the season.
Coach, we'll start chronologically tonight. Your team got off to a really fast start. Why did you feel like they were able to establish such a physical presence early in that game?
I thought our attention to detail on the game plan was outstanding in the first half, particularly on the defensive end. And then offensively, we kind of figured it out a little bit. We were shooting too many threes but without attacking the paint. But I think what really got us going to start was just the defensive execution.
Cabo was a big part of that. He jokingly just told me that maybe this was his flu game because apparently he was not okay last night. But he showed up today. How'd you feel about his performance?
That's great. Great reference by him. He was good, man. You know, five big blocks. You know, I thought we did a better job. And we worked a lot in the last 2 days of trying to, you know, we knew they were going to switch a lot of stuff. And I thought we did a good job of punishing him. Their smalls when they switched onto him. So he was really steady there. But, I mean, honestly, he was great. But shout out to all of our fives. I mean, Foose came in, got a lot of work done in a short amount of time. And then, you know, Mihailo came in and gave us a different look to close it out.
to your point, the bench is getting more and more productive. For the second straight game, they outscored your starters. To what do you attribute that to?
Just honestly, my coaching staff, you know, keeping those guys ready. You know, all the, you know, from Michael Davey to Jordan Brady to John Linehan, all of our GAs keeping those guys ready in terms of workouts and things like that. And just, you know, we have some mature guys on this team, you know, and it's not easy to do it, to sit there and, you know, just wait. But the guys have been able to step up when we needed them, and it's been fun.
You know it better than most, but in high-level basketball, whether it's the NBA or the Big 12, it feels like every team's eventually going to make a run. Kansas State made their run. They cut it to 8. How were you able to slow them down in the middle part of the second half?
The downside of playing a lot of guys is sometimes hard to get a rhythm, you know. So I thought the subbing got a little funky there in the second half. We were searching for the right group. I think that had a lot to do with it. And once we kind of settled in, found the right group, Dallin came in and kind of stabilized us. You know, putting Mihailo at the 5 helped us play a little bit more off-ball action to negate some of the switching they were doing. So, you know, just trying to find the right combination.
The messages from you in the huddle were consistent all game long, twofold really. One, attack the rim and dominate the paint. How'd you grade how those two things went for your team?
I mean, we scored 80 and 40 of them were in the paint, and we were 17 of 21 at the rim.
My notes have that as excellent.
You know, that's pretty good. So my analytics guy back there is doing cartwheels because, you know, almost 40% of our shots were at the rim. And that was, you know, they give up the most rim attempts in the Big 12. And so that was a big, huge point of emphasis coming into the game.
I've had some people close to the BYU bench ask me, hey, sometimes Coach Young will point at a stats guy after a certain big play or something. What's he doing? I said, I'll ask him.
Yeah, so just earmarking some of the possessions to show him on film at halftime. And for me to see at halftime, too, to just kind of crystallize the game plan.
Well, you had plenty of those tonight. Again, your team did so many things efficiently. What do you like best about the overall performance tonight?
I just think the collective, you know, team effort, you know, that's something that's, like you said, it's happened 2 games in a row. But, you know, I think our guys are really believing in each other. Hasn't really been a selfish, you know, guy on the team. Everybody wants to play, obviously. And, you know, like I said, sometimes it's a, you know, depth is great, but it honestly makes my job a little bit harder because I have to try to push the right buttons. But, you know, kudos to our group for, you know, just staying ready and just wanting to win at the end of the day. And that's obviously what we've been able to do these last couple games.
Richie Saunders with his first career double-double, 14 rebounds. What makes Richie special in a game like tonight?
I mean, I think the last offensive rebound he had on the free throw. I mean, his will is just uncommon. And that play just, I think, crystallizes everything that – or encompasses everything that Richie Saunders is about. And, you know, even on a night where, you know – he actually shot it okay from 3. We didn't shoot it great from 3, but we were able to go in there and climb in and get some second chance opportunities, you know, 14 offensive rebounds. You know, he was a big part of that.
I'm going to say a name, and you tell me what you thought about their games, beginning with Dallin Hall.
He was a stud, man, 14 points in the second half. You know, I've been on him a lot all season, but definitely recently about just, you know, you gotta live like a scorer. You know, you gotta attack the rim. You gotta put pressure on the defense, and that's going to open everything else up for you. And I think he's starting to figure that out. I think I really love the force that he's been playing with in the last 2 games, and hopefully he can continue to carry that. You know, we're going to need it.
Next name is Trey Stewart.
Yeah, Trey, man, he's just a tough dude. You know, he's a guy that's extremely confident in what he can do on both ends of the floor. You know, we found some what we feel like is a bit of a recipe with, you know, him and Mawut. You know, tag team and certain, you know, high-level offensive players. And then, you know, he's been able to make some timely threes as well. And just I thought that offensive rebound, I mean, the kid sits there for 18 minutes in the first half, doesn't play, comes in, gets a massive offensive rebound that we end up scoring off of. So, you know, Trey's about all the right things. I love coaching him. He's a great dude. And he's a big part of, like, our team spirit.
Okay, last name I'll mention is Mihailo Boskovic.
You know, what he brings to the table is just gives us a different look at the 5. You know, it's – you know, a little bit more skill, you know, a little bit more, you know, floor spacing out there. You know, I thought that drive he had late was big. So, you know, he allows us to play, you know, differently, which, you know, whether it's trying to negate pressure, whether it's to negate switching, whatever the case may be, you know, his offensive motor has really given us a lift.
2 quick hitters to close out. And I promised Trevin Nell I would ask this to you, but he was wearing a KYU shirt yesterday. How do you feel about the KYU shirt push?
I mean,
the fact that that's like even a thing at all is shout out to Devin Booker for making that statement. But I didn't know that. It's hilarious. I appreciate Trev showing a little love.
He might have one for you available at some point in the near future.
That doesn't surprise me. You know, but all jokes aside, I mean, he's been super supportive of me from the time I've gotten this job, and he's a big part of our, you know, our leadership group. I love Trev.
And The Rock wants me to ask you, do you believe in free throw defense?
Oh, man, The Rock is – honestly, I literally get chills before the game when I just look up there and see him, and I just think, like, man, I'm glad I don't have to see that, you know, on the road. But before we get out of here, I just want to shout out the entire show family that was here. And I was cool, you know, to have some of them back in the locker room with us. You know, that's really been heavily on my mind and my heart. You know, we got a couple of family connections with some of his extended family. So, man, he was just coaching a game against my son about 3 weeks ago. So I hope they had a special night. You know, he's a member of our BYU family. And I told the guys after, it was a great win. I'm proud of him, but sometimes it's bigger than basketball. And I was glad that he could get honored tonight.
A great tribute by you. Congratulations on helping them celebrate this night.
Thank you very much.
BYU head coach Kevin Young, post-game against Kansas State. Now it's his challenge. Quick turnaround to get ready for Kansas tomorrow night. But at least he can rely on Richie Saunders, who put together his first career double-double. Still can't believe 14 rebounds. Richie recaps that effort and more right now.
Richie, congratulations on your first career double-double. You only had to get to 10 rebounds, so you got to 14. What kind of effort did it take to secure those 14 tonight?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like the philosophy is you go every time, and today I guess it just bounced my way a little more. But, you know, it was just such a good team win right there. Like, it's a big win. We needed it.
Your coach said that last offensive rebound, in a nutshell, personified who you are as a player. The game's not in question at that point. Why do you feel like you have to go after that ball in that scenario?
I don't know. I feel like every time that the ball bounces is an opportunity. And I don't know. I hope everybody on our team, everybody plays basketball, can have that mentality. Just every time is an opportunity. I just see it like that. I don't know. But
you mentioned how important this team win was. Yeah. And for a second straight game, your bench outscores the starters. What does it mean to you to have the bench that you do as a starter for BYU?
It's amazing. I don't know. I don't exactly have the words, but like it's an awesome thing to know that like we just have a team. It's just kind of interesting, right? Like with different game plans and different schemes. You know, I feel like it's so hard to scheme with us because you can't scheme for 11 people. 11 people played at least 7 minutes this game, and You can't scheme with that exactly, and so it's awesome.
There was a clear point from your coach to attack the rim and dominate the paint. How do you feel like you did that as a team against Kansas State?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like definitely my teammates did a little better than that than me, right? Like I wish I could have a few of those back, but you know, like going into the game, it was an emphasis, and it was awesome. Just how we actually did it, you know, instead of settling for harder shots.
How would you explain the energy of this building tonight with the emotion of the show family here and knowing that Kansas State was on a heater and had won six straight games? What was that like for you to play in this specific crowd tonight?
I mean, it was good to be home. Like, that's the first thing. It was good to be home. It's been, feels like a while since we played here. But, you know, it was rocking in here, and just knowing that, like, it's hard to win on the road, and knowing that they have to come to here when knowing that this place is going crazy, it's a big advantage.
Kansas on Tuesday, what has your attention now that you can fully turn your focus to the Jayhawks and what they'll bring on Tuesday night?
I mean, they're an incredible team. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's gonna be an incredible game, and so again, they have to come to here. They have to come play in the Merit Center, and you know, it's just going to be a great game. But we're excited to move on to that game and to play.
Now, Richie, you're being a little humble in assessing your attacking the rim because we've seen you dunk before, but to go baseline and throw it down with two hands, that we haven't seen that a ton. Walk us through that specific play.
I don't know, man. To be honest, like high school me, I would have one of those like all the time, but. You know, I'm running a lot more right now. My legs are tired, but it just kind of opened up, and that was the right play, I guess.
How is your overall health at this point of the season?
You know, it's good. I'm blessed to not have anything major, but you know, go home and tonight and tomorrow I'll feel bruises everywhere, and you know, but I'm good. I'm healthy and ready to finish out the season strong.
Okay, just a big picture question to finish. As you look back on day one of this journey, and I'm talking like practice one with this current staff and this team, compared to where you stand now, what has been the biggest headline or storyline as you looked at the evolution of this team?
You know, I feel like that bench was kind of the first thing that comes to my mind. I think of Trey Stewart, who has had a freaking battle of 4 years, but coming out here and you know, he's hitting big shots. His three today was, I think, one of the biggest shots of the game. That's just what we get to see every day in practice. I look up to that dude because of his attitude and mentality throughout this whole journey. But, you know, going with that, like, there's just so many guys that it hasn't gone their way a lot. But yet, that doesn't – they're you would never know. You would never be able to see that. Because they're just they come every day, and that's what our team is, and like, it's awesome. We got a lot more to do, though.
Yes, sir. All right, I'm sneaking one more. On a scale of 1 to 10 and the level of happiness, how happy are you that you don't have to wait for the plane to de-ice for 3 hours before you go home and get in your bed?
We're talking 3 hours and then a 4.5 hour trip. Get home at 4 a.m. Oh my goodness. I'm sorry to my stats teacher, my 9 a.m. class. I didn't make it, but gosh, it's good to just go home.
Richie, congratulations, man. Get some rest.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Richie Saunders, he is the man. BYU Basketball with Kevin Young, Thursday nights, 8:30 Eastern. Just a couple more of these left. Come on, let's enjoy these. On the BYU TV app, coming up later this week.
BYU Women's Basketball, did you miss it?
Hey.
Take down a top 20 foe. Plus, 7 BYU school records broken over the weekend. We'll break it all down in headlines next.
7?
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social for content throughout the day, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer. He is Jerem. Go USA and go headlines.
Men's basketball beat Kansas State 80-65 Saturday, snapping the Wildcats' six-game win streak. Richie Saunders led the way, 17 points, career-high 14 rebounds, his first career double-double. With the win, BYU 8-6, tied for fifth in the league with Kansas and Baylor. Tomorrow night, BYU hosts number 17 Kansas. That ranking probably go down after loss at Utah. In the Marriott Center, pregame tomorrow, 8 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
BYU women's basketball upsets number 20, Oklahoma State, 68-64
awesome.
At the Marriott Center on Saturday afternoon. It was a great Saturday in that building.
Oh, yeah.
Cougars outscored the Cowgirls 21-13 in the fourth quarter. How about this? The first win this season for BYU when trailing going into the fourth quarter. Right. Emma Calvert led things for BYU with 19 points. Up next, the Cougars in a winnable game at Arizona and Tucson. Good luck to the ladies.
Number 7 men's volleyball won at Concordia in 5 sets Friday night to improve the 2-0 in the MPSF. BYU's Keone Thim led the way, match high 17 kills, tied his season best with 5 aces. Up next, BYU returns to Provo, 2 match home series Friday and Saturday against Barry, a D2 team out of Miami with a cool mascot and logo. Friday and Saturday on Big Ten Plus.
Keone's 45-inch vertical has inspired me to get to 25 inches, Jerem.
Good luck with that.
The BYU Women's Distance Medley Relay squad of Carmen Alder, Megan Hunter, Tessa Buswell, and Riley Chamberlain, all rocking the Karma, broke the all-time NCAA record for the Distance Medley Relay DMR on Friday with a time of 10 minutes, 37 seconds, and 58 hundredths.
Wow!
BYU's DMR team a year ago, featuring Riley Chamberlain, won the indoor national championship.
I think it was by 6 seconds or something crazy. Along with the women's DMR, 6 other track and field school records were broken by athletes this weekend. Casey Klinger broke his own record in the 3,000. Lexi Halliday-Lowry broke the women's 3,000. Josh Taylor broke the 400. Sammy Oblad, the 400. The men's 4x4 team, Eli Haslett, Trey Jackson, Ty Ostrich, Josh Taylor broke the school record. And freshman Tyler Matthews broke the men's 800 record. This is the peak of the powers of track and indoor. Indoor, outdoor, and cross country. They are so good.
Is it even a weekend in BYU sports if multiple records aren't broken?
It's amazing.
It's ridiculous. BYU softball wins their final game at the Puerto Vallarta College Challenge on Saturday, beating Florida International 5-1. They go 3-2 overall in Mexico with the victory. BYU improves to 6-2 on the season. Cougars right-handed pitcher Kaysen Korth and catcher Lindy Milkowski named to the Puerto Vallarta College Challenge All-Tournament team.
Baseball dropped games 1-2 of the season, 7-1, 13-4. Then got a 7-1 win in game 3 to start the season, 1-2 at Fresno State. Game 4 of that series coming up tonight, 9 Eastern on BYU Radio.
BYU Gymnastics scores a 195.675 to pick up their first Big 12 head-to-head win of the season over West Virginia on Friday night. BYU's Brinley Anderson leading the Cougars with a 9-9 on the balance beam and a 9-9 on the floor. Well done, Brinley.
Is that new for her on the floor? She's now on, because she was mostly beam. Now she's doing a little
So floor. She has expanded her role on the floor.
Nice.
She hits 9-9 for the first time on the floor
Very
this season.
Cool. Number 21 men's golf finished 8th at the John A. Burns Intercollegiate in Hawaii after shooting even through 54 holes. Peter Kim, BYU's top finisher, tied for 18th place after shooting 2 under par.
Men's and women's tennis both pick up wins this weekend. The women's team beating Colorado State and Denver on the road to extend their win streak to 6 straight. The men's team beat Idaho State in Provo, and they extend their win streak to 5 straight. Some love for tennis!
Mm-hmm.
After the break, the latest report regarding future college football playoff expansion, including multiple auto bids for the Big 12. We'll break it all down next. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B on President's Day. And this next story, well, to us, doesn't exactly feel patriotic in terms of how college football should be run.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
All right, it is. It's getting weird. And specifically from Ross Dellinger, his new report on the college football playoff format that is now devolving into the following. He had reported yesterday that the SEC and the Big Ten are building momentum to further expand the playoff to 14 or 16 teams. So on the surface,
I like that.
Go to 14 or 16. This is great,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
Well, there are a lot of nuances in that. This 14 or 16 team model would grant 4 automatic qualifiers, 4 each to the SEC and Big Ten, only 2 each to the ACC and Big 12. Yuck. And 1 to the highest ranked Group of 5 champion. It includes 1 or 3 at-large spots, depending on if it's 14 or 16.
Right.
And one of those is intended for Notre Dame if the Irish finish ranked inside the top 14, a guarantee specifically designated for the Irish that, again, is part of this college football playoff memorandum.
Fine with that part with Notre Dame. That's fine.
Jerem.
But shouldn't anyone in the top 14 get in?
I know you like the expansion to 14 or 16.
Yeah.
Do you like anything else about this idea?
I don't know why the SEC and Big Ten's scared. Why would you need to guarantee the 4? Won't you? Like,
if you're so strong, you'll just have 4 in the top 16.
Right? If you're scared, buy a duck. Get a security system. I don't know. Why are they so scared? Is it because Alabama and Ole Miss didn't get 1 or both of those?
We're taking our ball and going home.
It feels weird. Now, here's the thing that everyone needs to understand. The SEC and the Big Ten, they control this thing.
Yep.
They can kind of dictate this.
There is verbiage in the contract.
Which is kind of wild. Because you have no commissioner or overseer of college football in any way, shape, or form, there's no one to say, no, you can't do that, sorry, as the commish of college football. And if they ever got one, it's going to be someone from the SEC or Big Ten, so they probably actually, I guess, dictate that.
Yes.
So maybe having commissioner doesn't change things. But what it needs to be is, no, we're not going to guarantee more bids to your league and your league than your league and your league. Like, that doesn't make sense because it's just going to happen that way, Spence. They're going to get 4 in probably or more.
They don't need the guarantee.
Yeah, they'll earn it. They are the 2 best leagues in football. We acknowledge that, but I don't want to acknowledge that in auto bids. I want to acknowledge that just generally. And if you play it out and there are 3 awesome Big 12 teams in the top 14 and one is left out because he got an automatic for the 4th SEC team who happens to be ranked 21st, that's not okay.
No.
It's not okay. We come at it from the Big 12 perspectives, so certainly we're going to be like, what? No. It's just going to kind of play out that way that it would work out anyway. Well, hey, you could get one of those at-large spots if you want it. What? I don't know why you would need 4 automatic from each league unless you're scared.
If they wanted 3, okay, I'll make that concession. Fine.
3-3, and then do the 2-2.
Two and two. Sure.
Now it's 5-7 at large.
Yes, but to your point, if the SEC has three clear dominant forces, but then their fourth team is ranked somewhere between 19 and 25.
Which most years it won't be. That fourth team will be in the top 16.
You know who gets host? A team like BYU or Kansas State, right? Where they're number 16 or number 15. It's like, yeah, okay, they're in position. But then in comes whoever, Ole Miss.
And it's a three-loss Alabama
LSU.
Or Ole Miss kind of thing.
Like, what? No, no, no. Like, that. It obviously doesn't feel fair if they're not in the top 16.
I want the most deserving teams by what you've actually done. Not, well, you know, the odds makers say they would be favored. No, they don't dictate what happens here. That's not how it works. It's what you actually did. Like this year, BYU probably deserve to be more in the mix. I'm not.
They need to be more in the conversation. We're not saying they should have made it.
I don't necessarily think they should have made it. But at least that, honestly, everybody but one team loses in the playoff. BYU's result was a nice building point of they smacked a respected Colorado team in two top five picks probably. Like, it ended about as good as it could end, Spence. Certainly going to the playoff would have been amazing. I would have rather done that, frankly. But this situation was the best possible alternative for BYU to finish the season. In this situation, you'd like to think that BYU would make that. If it was 16 teams, I'd like to think that BYU would have made it last year.
I wanted to go to 16. I know they're talking about 14. Just
why not just – it's 16. Everybody's got to win four games now.
Does any team want a bye now when you look at what happened to the four teams that had a bye? They all lost.
And what if I told you you'd get two home games potentially?
Awesome.
Like, the home games, to me, were amazing. The games were not, but the environments, the buildup, the excitement around that.
And home field was – there wasn't a team that lost – that had home field advantage in the college football playoff. They all dominated.
Ohio State took it to Tennessee.
They dominated on their home fields.
Yeah.
But so get, I mean, I want the 14 thing, like go to 16 so that every team is playing like you have eight games.
Meanwhile, FCS is going, we've done this for years.
Yes, and it's awesome. And people get excited about it. Yep. And it's a tried and true format. I know that bowl committees are like, well, we want to have these bowl games featured. And you can do that. There are enough bowl games that you can have eight first-round bowl games that are all big bowl games. You can do that. Or if you don't, you can just have a first-round playoff, home field, don't call it anything but the college football playoff.
I'm fine with the quarters and semis being the six.
Yeah.
That's your old New Year's six, those four and those two.
Great.
Then the national title game.
I'm here for it. Yep. 16, but four auto bids for the Big Ten and SEC.
What are you afraid of? Like, I'm shocked the SEC and the Big Ten aren't like, no, we'll earn our way in there. We're awesome. We don't need this. Instead, they're like, we got left out last year, so
our
we need to dictate
is
some
tougher.
Policy.
Our conference is tougher. Yeah, okay, great. Last year, SEC, I don't know that the SEC was that much tougher than, I mean, yes, at the top, no question.
Yeah.
Like top heavy,
right.
Stronger top heavy than the Big 12. But top to bottom?
Ole Miss, don't lose to Kentucky. Alabama, don't lose to Vandy.
There you go.
Then you're in.
Earn it.
You would have been in.
Just like everybody else has to.
Right.
Earn it.
Yeah. BYU baseball taking on Fresno State. Final game of the four-game series to open the year. Try to get to 500 tonight on BYU Radio, 9 Eastern Time.
Still to come, we wrap up today's show with a special rise and shout-out to a BYU athlete taking a big step. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day. After the 15-point win over Kansas State, how confident are you that BYU will indeed be in the bracket of brackets and make the NCAA tournament? Care Bear on X answers.
Care Bear countdown. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Care with a K, too. Ask me tomorrow after the Kansas game, okay?
Interesting.
Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated comes from @runsrealfast on X.
So it's from the track team?
Maybe. At this point, if BYU wins games they should win, Arizona State, West Virginia, Utah, they are in. The rest are just about getting a better seed in the tournament.
How about that? We're hoping BYU gets 11 wins. In league, 11.
Yeah, I've moved. Like over under 10.5 for me.
If they win tomorrow, it goes up to 11.5. Yep. Probably right.
Yes, yeah. I'm at 10.5 right now. Yeah, to your point, 11.5.
I actually expect BYU to win tomorrow. There's my hot take.
Let's go. All right, today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Mariah Hudgens of women's basketball got baptized over the weekend. Congratulations to her on the greatest moment of her life up to this point. Congratulations. That's an awesome thing. You're going to be super blessed for it.
Mariah's amazing.
Love it.
Beautiful person inside and out. Awesome basketball player. We wish her a speedy recovery from her injury as well.
She's been super nice to my daughter, Ben, at camp, too. I love it.
All right, thanks to today's guests, Kevin Young and Richie Saunders.
Sorry to Dennis. Ran out of time.
For Jerem Jordan, I am Spencer Linton. Shout out to Tim McTyre. We'll see you tomorrow on game day against Kansas. Go Cougs!